Well, good morning and welcome to you all this morning, whether you're here in the church with us in the hall next door or indeed watching at home. A very warm welcome to our service this morning. As you'll see, Breda and Francie are not with us this morning. Breda had his first treatment towards the end of last week, and they're doing the wise thing and staying at home today, and we're grateful to Grant coming for conducting our worship and preaching this morning. A number of intimations. First of all, just some feedback from the Christian Aid activities. The amount raised by the auction of promises was £1,500. Sheila tells me that her sponsored walk, and she did more than the 75 miles, I think she said she did 88, so you might want to add a bit if you've given her some money already. But at the moment, she's got between £400 and £500, and I know that there's more to come because I've not given her anything yet, but I plan to. It'll be a few days before we know the how much has been collected from the door-to-door collection in the villages. That will be counted after a few days. But I would like to thank all of you who took part in distributing the envelopes and doing the collection over the last week or so. We have our usual activities this week, the lockdown chat at 12:15 after the service today. Wednesday, we've got our prayer time for the future of the church at 1 o'clock, and also we've got a midweek chat on Wednesday evening at the usual time of 7:30. Our Kirk session meets on Wednesday evening, and maybe that's something that will be part of our prayers and our prayer time on Wednesday for the Kirk session, for God's guidance and wisdom in looking to the future. These, I think, are all the intimations. Those of you who have been doing the Thursday Bible study series that just finished last week will know that it was in the book of Exodus, and the book of Exodus ends with Moses and the others assisting him, having prepared and built the tabernacle, the place that was going to be the sign of God's presence with them. And the final words of the final words of the book are, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Well, God's glory in the tabernacle was a sign to the Israelites of his holiness, but it was also an assurance of his presence with them and his guidance in all their journeyings. And as Christians today, all these thousands of years later, we have the same assurance, but we've got a different focus and a fuller knowledge. Listen to these words from John's Gospel. "The Word became flesh and dwelt," literally pitched his tent among us. "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And writing to the Corinthians, Paul says, "God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." Glory, it's a familiar word, and yet in some ways it's a difficult word. We sometimes talk of giving glory to God. In truth, though, we can't give to God what is already his. We can't add to the glory he possesses. What we can do, though, is acknowledge and recognize the greatness of his glory and praise him for what he is and for who he is. And that's what we do now in our first hymn, "Glory Be to God the Father." It's CH 4110, and we'll stand, if not to sing, at least perhaps to hum the words of the hymn as we watch them on the screen. So please stand. Thank you. Let us now come to God in prayer. Father God, in our hymn we have sung of your glory. You are the eternal one, the one who created and upholds this vast, awe-inspiring universe in which we have our home. You are the God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whose greatness is the constant theme of angels' praise. You are the God who is utterly different from us in your eternal being, your knowledge and power, your holiness and purity. For all that you are, we praise you. And yet we thank you too, for in Jesus you have come close to us, you have shone the light of your love on us, you have made yourself known to us in all the glory of your sacrificial love, and have invited us into relationship with yourself. And so we come to you today, simply because you invite us to do so. We come with our different backgrounds and experiences. We come with all our hopes and expectations, and come too with our fears and anxieties, our failures, our regrets. We ask that as we come to you today, you will meet with us at the point of our need, not as we understand it, but as you know it, for you know us so much better than we know ourselves. We look to you for forgiveness for all our sins and failures, thanking you for your promise not just to forgive, but to make us clean again. We look to you for the strength to meet the difficulties and challenges of the coming week. We look to you too to be with us in all the good times we experience, that we may recognize and enjoy these as we should, as being your gifts. Lord, in Jesus you have set us free to enjoy fullness of life. You have shown us too how we should live as your redeemed sons and daughters. As we spend time together with you this morning, reflecting and meditating on your word, thank you that you promise to bless us as we do so. So give us ears to hear. Give us the will to engage with your will. Give us hearts to respond to your great love for us. We ask all this in the name and for the sake of Jesus, summing up our prayer now in the words he himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Alistair. The intention of this morning's service is to consider the question, are you missing out? And we've previously introduced you to this guy, Friedrich Nietzsche, late 19th century philosopher, German philosopher, who had a big influence on Western thought, and he famously said, God is dead. And by that he meant human reasoning had killed off the need for God. Here is his quote for today. You have your way, I have my way. As for the right way, the correct way, and the only way, it does not exist. So what if Nietzsche was wrong? And there is a wrong way, a wrong direction. Here is a well-known landmark in Langbride. And if you want to get to our church, you go to the roundabout. And which direction do you have to go? You have to go west. You go west. If you go east, you end up in Aberdeen. So a disclaimer. This story is partly true. It's partly fiction. I will leave it for you to decide. And any resemblance to actual persons is very intentional. As we know, Salou is in the middle of a field outside of Langbride. And if you were like me when you tried to find the church, you end up in Langbride. and I'm not the only one. So our new minister decided to do something about this. He got in touch with Alistair Campbell, our property convener, to get someone to point signs to the left, to the west. He not only painted them on the front, he painted them on the back. Lots of signs, all pointing west towards the church. You can imagine it was pretty boring painting all these signs. And he really just got started when this car drew up and a man got out of it. And he said to him, "Who are you? What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm Alistair Rossiter. I'm the Kirk Session." He's the session clerk. And Alistair was coming to check in the signs. He said, "They're very good on the right, on the front, you've got them going to the left, and that's right. But on the back, you've got them going the wrong way." And the man said, "Wait a minute, on the front, they're going to the left, and that's right. But on the back, you've got them going in the wrong way." The man said, "That's okay, I'll soon get them all right." And Alistair said, "What will you do?" He said, "I'll take all these signs that I've painted and turn them round the right way." And Alistair said, "Well, they'll be okay in the front, but you still got the problem in the back." The man said, "No, it'll be all right." So he continued painting them well into the afternoon. And another car drew up. And the man said, "Okay, who are you this time?" And he said, "I'm Brida LeDuc. I'm the minister." He said, "You got these signs on the front. They're all right. They're going to the left. But in the back, you've got them pointing to the ground. And we're not an underground church. The state doesn't control us." He said, "On this side, it's not much better either. And this side is the worst of all, because we've got RAF Lossiemouth flying near us. In fact, this is the only sign that's right, and it's right because it's left." The man said, "I'm giving up. You can get Dietmar, your handyman, to sort them all out." And of course, Dietmar made them all right. So the scene setter, as you've gathered, is all about directions to get from A to B. And they were either right or wrong. Susan Gilliland is going to read Psalm 1 to us. And Psalm 1 is all about directions for life. Susan.
Good morning. Psalm 1. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." Amen, and may God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Susan. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, in your presence, we bow down before you and come to your word to consider the word written, that we may encounter Jesus Christ, the living word. So open our eyes to see, our ears to listen, and our hearts to receive him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the final Sunday in the church calendar celebrating Easter. And a recurring theme of this season has been the meaning and purpose of life. We have considered together not only what we mean by life before death, but what we mean by life after death. And along with thinking about what our main purpose in life should be, we have thought about what having life in all its abundance means. We've explored how Jesus' death and resurrection is made possible through God's grace, peace between God, peace between ourselves, peace with each other and with the creation. Not only in the here and now, but in the world to come. The theme of today is to explore the question, are we missing out? Psalm 1 continues with the theme of the meaning of life and introduces another quality available to us. In the preceding weeks, we've already touched on grace and peace. Today, it's blessed. Some translations and paraphrases use the words happy, prosperous, fortunate. And while there is truth in these words, I think blessed is a better translation. For to be blessed is generally, although I accept not always, associated with something God does. And blessed, while it can mean fortunate, happy, and prosperous, can also mean contented. So being contented, therefore, added to grace and peace, is part of the qualities God gives us to the meaning of life, gifts given by God. So Psalm 1 speaks of life as a path or a way. And to be precise, it speaks of two ways and two types of people, the way of the righteous, the godly, and the way of the wicked or the ungodly. And there's two destinations. There's no wiggle room. It's either or. Like my sign earlier, both can't be right. So the psalm forces us to address the question, which person are you? Which path are you on? And what metaphor best describes you, the tree or the chaff? And finally, what is your destination? The psalm makes it very clear that the blessed person, the contented person, is someone who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. I suspect most of us, if we're being honest, struggle to do this. And if so, are we missing out? We are bombarded by the secular world and its philosophy that God is dead, that Christianity is a superstition, that it's a crutch. Comments like this one from Stephen Dawkins. Father Christmas and the Tooth Fairy are part of the charm of childhood. So is the belief in God. Some of us grow out of all three. So these sort of comments put us on the back foot. And we begin to wonder, do God's ways really work? And the Psalms in particular give voice to these negative thoughts that we're all likely to share and express at some time in our lives. They also show us that time and time again, God can be counted on. He is in control and his ways work. So what are the Psalms? Very briefly, they're an anthology or a collection of Hebrew poems. There's 150 of them organized into five sections from a variety of authors, most famously David, but also Moses, Solomon, and some lesser known characters. Some are anonymous. They were written to be sung in worship, and they are part of what we know as the wisdom literature of the Bible, and were written over a period of between 500 and 1,000 years. Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 go together and provide a lens through which to understand all the rest of the Psalms. Both Psalms 1 and 2 were probably written by a poet in exile, and their circumstances were not good. Psalm 137 captures some of this. When by the waters of Babylon, they sat down and wept when they remembered Zion. Times weren't good. Yet Psalm 1 invites us to meditate on the law of God with its focus on the personal dimension of how I relate to God and vice versa. Psalm 2 focuses on the kingdom of God, the public dimension of how God works in the world. So let's get personal. Psalm 1, verse 2. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord? Law and delight are not words that I and suspect most of us, if not all of us, naturally link together. And I suspect it's because when we hear the word law, what usually comes to mind is a set of regulations. And C.S. Lewis captures this sentiment very well. He says, some people obey the law the way we pay taxes. We do what is expected of us, but do our utmost to stick with the minimum. So the law of God, however, is something quite different. What is the law of God? The law of the Lord is translated as Torah. And there are three basic meanings of Torah. In the narrowest sense, all the laws and regulations, of which there are at least 613. Then they refer to the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. And in the broadest sense, the word Torah means instruction or teaching. So a good reading of the text this morning might be to say it's the delight in the instruction of the Lord, which includes more than the first five books. It includes all of the Scripture, the Word of God, the Bible. But why? Because as we take seriously the instruction of the Bible, the Holy Spirit applies it to our lives, and we are made more like Christ. And that's one of the foundational principles of the Christian message. It was Martin Luther who said, "We go to the Bible as shepherds went to the manger in order to find Jesus." So the Bible is a book about Jesus. In the Old Testament, he is predicted. In the Gospels, he is revealed. In the Acts of the Apostles, he is preached. In the Epistles, he is explained. And in Revelation, he is expected. So everything in the Bible is useful for our instruction. Importantly, though, we are not just to read it. We are to meditate on it. And that leads to us, what do we mean by meditation? And here we must be careful. Meditation is an old phrase that catches different philosophies and techniques. It does not mean emptying our mind, as some would have us do. In fact, it's the exact opposite. The word used for meditation here is haga, which means to mutter aloud as well as pondering. It is also the same word used in Isaiah 31:4, where a lion hagas over its prey despite shepherds shouting at it. And there's something here about our attitude to the Word of God, how we approach it. Do we make the sound of the lion before we devour our prey, like the lion so occupied that they don't worry about anything else? Or do we mutter as we read it, read it out loud? And that's something about reflecting our engagement with it as we try to understand it. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch from a few weeks ago? He read it out aloud. So when you meditate on God's word, you fill your mind with the word of God. You think about each verse, each promise, each passage, what the story means. You meet Jesus in the text. And as you do so, you gain a greater understanding of what Jesus is doing, what God is doing. And you learn to apply this understanding to every situation in life you find yourself in. Your mind, as the Apostle Paul puts it, becomes renewed, and you become more like Jesus. Practically, it means asking questions of the text, including, how do we get to know God in the text? What does it say about me? What is it asking of me? And we're asked to do it day and night. I think that's a bit of hyperbole, but the meaning is clear. If we truly love something, we spend a lot of time on it. We study in detail to master it. We can even spend irrational sums of money on it. And that's true of sports fans following their teams around the country, golfers, photographers, or whatever your hobby is. So we are being asked to spend time meditating on God's word, regardless of your circumstance or education. In the musical Fiddler on the Roof, Reb Tevi is singing what it might be like to be rich. He talks of many things, and one being he wouldn't have to work hard. But then he sings that the best part of being rich is to discuss the holy books with the learned men several hours every day, and that would be the sweetest thing of all. He's right, but he's wrong. You don't need to be rich or prosperous in the world's eyes to discuss the holy book. Remember, Psalm 1 was written from hard times, from people in exile. The Bible is for everybody. Carol Bart says, "The Bible is like a river that is shallow enough for a sheep to walk through and only get its feet wet, and deep enough for an elephant to drown." Brada tells the story of his friend Jim, who was trained as a pastor and circumstances led him to opening a bar in Montana. Over time, one of the regulars began to get interested in what the pastor, the bar owner, had to say. Eventually, Jim gave him a Bible, and in it, Jim wrote these words: "I envy your eyes because you haven't read this book before. You will see things that my eyes do not. I hope you will share them with me. I hope also you will get such a sense of what God can do that you will wonder, that you'll find wonder in what God did do. The Bible is for everybody, trained in theology or not trained in theology, for you, for me. However, if you read the Bible out of duty, it cools your passion for God. The Bible is like a love letter. When you receive this letter, your love for the person is what makes you want to read it immediately, to think about it, meditate on it, then again and again and again. Reading the Bible feeds your passion, and its flames burn higher." Now, God is a big fan of metaphors. Trivial pursuit question: what is the most common metaphor in the Bible? It's trees. In Psalm 1, plants growing near water are easily sustained and can thrive. Water is the ultimate source of life for a tree. So to be planted by water is to have a regular supply of life itself. This means that a tree planted by the water will grow to be strong and sturdy and have a good root system. Also, such a tree will consistently bear fruit, which of course is one of its primary purposes. As we delight and meditate on the Word of God, we too will be like a tree planted by streams of water. We will be firmly rooted and will regularly bear fruit. People who meditate on the Word of God enjoy spiritual nourishment that equips them to handle anything that comes their way. It gives them stability in all aspects of life, which includes their emotions, their careers, their relationships. It also gives direction and purpose. So Christian meditation is a good way to help overcome a mind filled with worry, fear, and negative thinking. In contrast, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. And the outer protective covering of wheat and other grains has to be removed for it to be used in bread making. In Bible times, this covering was loosened by being trampled on or being beaten. And this protecting covering is now called chaff. The seed and shaft are then separated by throwing both up into the air, where the lighter chaff is blown away and the heavier seed falls to the ground. Chaff is essentially a waste product, and in the Bible, a metaphor for being worthless. In Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland, we read this exchange. Alice came to a fork in the road. "Which road do I take?" she asked. "Where do you want to go?" responded the Cheshire Cat. "I don't know," Alice answered. Then said the cat, "It doesn't matter." The decisions we make every day determine the direction and shape of our lives, and ultimately, the destiny of our lives. I asked the question, are you missing out? God's answer is yes, if you're not investing time on meditating on the Bible. The Bible is for everyone. The psalmist has not written, blessed is the king, nor blessed is the rich, nor blessed is the academic. He writes, but blessed is the one who delights in the law, the teachings, the instructions of the Lord, and meditates it on day and night. So the secret to contentment is not concealed knowledge only revealed to those who achieve higher degrees of holy enlightenment. The secret is hidden in plain sight throughout Scripture and is available to anyone willing to believe it and do the hard work. The secret is to meditate on the Scriptures. My initials are GPC, and when I sign emails, I use GPC. It saves time than typing out my name. However, in this lectionary period between Easter and Pentecost, I have learned that it can also stand for grace, peace, and contentment. And that is my wish for all of you. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you for your word, for both the warning and the promise you give us in Psalm 1. Awaken us in the passion to read your word as a love letter, which is addressed to each one of us personally, but not only to read it, but meditate on it and apply its teaching to our lives so that we may become more like Jesus. May we know the delight of the lion with its prey. May we be like that planted tree producing good fruit. May we know that blessing, that contentedness in our lives, both day and night. Amen. Yvonne will now lead us in prayers of intercession and prayers for the future. Pardon? Him next. Sorry, my apologies. The hymn is... apologies. 251, Here I Am, Lord. So as we think about intercession and prayers for the future, just thinking about what's happening in the world. I guess the major ones are what's happening in Israel, and I guess more closely what's happening with COVID affecting not only us, but the whole world. So I think we concentrate our prayers on that and then bring us closer to home with praying for where we are as a church and where we're going. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we are quite overwhelmed when we look at the news, listen to what it's saying, and yet we despair, and yet we know you're in control. And so, Lord, we ask that as we come before you, you will hear our prayers and strengthen our faith as we bring before you again the troubles of the world. We bring before you the terrible situation in Israel, the conflict that's escalating, that never seems to go away. And we pray again that your hand will be in the situation and that you will stem the violence, and not only stem it, but change people's hearts so they may know you and know that this is not the way that you'd have people live. Father, we can only pray for both sides and pray that sense will prevail and that your word will be heard loud and clear. May reconciliation be found. Father, we've seen reconciliation in Ireland, we've seen it in South Africa, and we pray that it seems to be more needed in Israel than ever before. We pray that you raise up people and a spirit that will enable that to happen. And Father, again, we bring before you the whole world with its COVID problem. We pray for the variants that keep arising. And we pray for the scientists that they can keep ahead of this and manufacture the vaccines that will stop the spread. And also, Lord God, we pray that as societies and as countries deal with this, that we will be sensible, but we will be fair. We pray that the vaccines will be given out or be made available to the world, but because the vaccine works, not because we're doing it because it's right in that sense. It has to be the right vaccine for the right place, and we pray that that will be found. And Lord, we also bring before you our church. Father, we've been hit with a lot of ill health in the church, and so we bring all these people before you, facing treatment, facing diagnosis, on the waiting list. And in the quietness of our hearts, we just name them all before you. And Lord God, as we move forward in our church, we pray for the direction of church, the direction you'd have us travel. We pray for the Kirk Session meeting coming up this week. We pray that decisions will be made that you want us to make and will direct the future direction. We pray that as we search for ways to communicate your good news to our local community, that you will give us and equip us with the tools to do this. And then we pray on to next week. We pray for Badar as he prepares for next week for us. Father, give him the strength, the insights to make the message real for us here in our situation in Langbride. Amen. Our final hymn is 606, Lord, You Sometimes Speak in Wonders. Again, my wish is for all of us to know God's grace, God's peace, and God's contentment. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. And may the Lord turn his face towards us and give us peace. Amen.